Unprecedented. It is a great song, but you know, we might have to start paying Yoko for royalties if we did that. So you're gonna have to listen to me talk over it for a while here and then cut in and tell you that you're listening to Truth Jihad Radio right here on We the People Radio Network. I'm Kevin Barrett. I do the show every Saturday and Sunday, same time, same channel, 2 to 4 p.m. Central Time, which is the ruling time zone on this continent, at least for Patriot Radio. And I try to bring you the best guests, the most interesting people that you'll rarely hear about in the mainstream media, the people who have something really important to say that isn't getting heard. Unfortunately, one of the reasons that sometimes we bring on people who are saying important things that aren't being heard is because the message that they're carrying is so painful. So depressing. So, oh, it's a downer, man. We don't want to hear about this. Oh, they blew up the World Trade Center with 3,000 people inside. Yeesh. Oh, well, let's go back to you know, something a little more, what should I say, amusing? Well, you know, just say anything but that. Please, not that. But, you know, we do talk about that and other highly important and under-treated subjects. And today, I do have a couple of fascinating guests. First hour guest, who I don't believe is up yet, but should be before too long, is Chris Deffendorf. Now, Chris Deffendorf is the world record holder for freestyle rapping. You know, I forget exactly what his record is, but it's a very, very lengthy rap, something like 16 hours, I think. And he's also a friend, should I say, I don't know, comrade, with Chuck D of Public Enemy. And he's done a whole lot of fascinating stuff, including an audio version of David Ray Griffin's 9/11 books. So Chris is a fascinating, very happening guy, and he'll be on for the first hour. And the second hour, we'll be bringing you Richard Curtis, a philosophy professor from Seattle. He is also a 9/11 truth supporter. And Richard Curtis and I had a little email dialogue on the Israel-Palestine issue. I'm a supporter of the one-state solution, a democratic single state for all rightful inhabitants of the area, which includes everybody that lives there now, plus the ethnic cleansing victims and their descendants. And Richard is a partisan of the two-state solution, that is some form of slicing up historic Palestine into a Jewish state of Israel and, who knows, a Muslim state or whatever. But that wouldn't work because a lot of the native people are not Muslim. So who knows, but it's some other kind of state of Palestine alongside Israel. So we'll have that conversation. It's always an interesting one, and it's very rare that you'll ever get to hear this thing debated on the media here because, well, it's just not allowed in the mainstream media. You're not allowed to advocate the one-state solution. There are a couple of rare exceptions. There's been a little bit of pro-one-state stuff in the New York Review of Books by a guy named Tony Judt. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. Anyway, he's a very interesting writer. But for the most part, you'll never hear about this in the mainstream. So it should be a very illuminating discussion of that topic. Let's see. I don't know if we have Chris on board yet, but we should have him on pretty soon. So before we bring him on, I guess I can tell you about future radio shows. Tomorrow, on this same show, I have a woman named Laura Cagle, who is the state death penalty coordinator for Georgia, for Amnesty International, that is. She's not coordinating dishing out the death penalty. She's coordinating fighting against it down there in Georgia. And she's trying to save Troy Davis, who's scheduled for execution in the next couple of days. And there's really no evidence against him. He just had lousy representation. You know, they just processed him like in a mechanical way, like the so-called justice system so often does. And so here we have a very possibly innocent man who's about to be executed down there. And so she's going to come on and try and give you some information about how you can help save this guy's life. It's one of the problems with the death penalty is that you don't really get a second chance if you made a mistake. That's why I'm against the death penalty. You can find out about that position by going to my website, barrettforcongress.us. Click on the issues page, and down there, number 25 of my 25 issues is the death penalty, which I believe should be abolished. I'll give you a long list of reasons for that if you go to that webpage. But for now, suffice it to say that it's just barbaric and so irreversible. And the way it's implemented in this country is so ridiculously racist. There's no real due process for these trials. The whole justice system is really a scam. It's like a bunch of witch doctors, you know, who say, see, we catch people who do bad things, better not do any bad things. And, you know, some people believe that, and who knows, maybe it does improve their behavior. But in terms of actually getting the real criminals and prosecuting people who've done terrible things, it doesn't work very well. 9/11 being a case in point, there's never been a more obvious and clear case of arson for profit than the case of self-confessed demolisher of Building 7, Larry Silverstein, who actually went on the air on PBS national TV and admitted that he was part of a decision to pull Building 7. He collected nearly $1 billion on Building 7 alone. He's had taken in a total of $4.5 billion for his insurance, plus a few more billion for other stuff, and he's working on another $11 billion, which will bring his total profits on his six-week investment in the worst white elephant in real estate history to something pushing $20 billion. Not bad for a horrendously idiotic six-week investment in the worst possible piece of real estate ever to be available on the planet. Yeah, lucky Larry. So anyway, he's not being hauled before the courts. He's not even being investigated. And it's obvious the justice system is really completely unrelated to the concept of justice. And I do hope that when Laura comes on tomorrow, we'll be able to help out Troy Davis. You can read Laura's article on Counterpunch. Just Google her name, K-A-G-E-L, and Troy Davis. I spell the way it sounds, and maybe Counterpunch, and you'll come up with that. It should be an interesting conversation. In the second hour, we're going to be bringing on another person associated with the website Counterpunch, run by the evil foe of 9/11 truth, Alexander Coburn. He's actually not evil. He's a pretty good guy in most areas. I don't know what's wrong with him with his total blinders on the 9/11 issue. Who knows? Maybe he'll recover someday. But I'm not bringing him on. I'm bringing on Dave Lindorf, a much more reasonable individual. Dave Lindorf is a first-rank journalist. He's a contributor to all sorts of outlets like The Nation, Salon.com. He's written for, I think, Business Week and a whole bunch of mainstream publications, as well as the less mainstream ones like Counterpunch. And he is the author of the case for impeachment. He has a website called thiscan'tbehappening.com. Is it com or is it org? I don't know. It's called This Can't Be Happening anyway. You'll figure it out. You Google it. And Dave's going to be on talking about the big, you know, mess that we're in right now in this country. The economy is in a mess. The global security situation is in a mess. And Dave has a good sense of humor, so he's always a lot of fun to have on the air. It should be great. And coming up next week, I'm going to bring on Daniel Davis, Captain Daniel Davis, U.S. Army captain. He's got a whole bunch of military medals, Purple Hearts, and stuff like that. And he's also a 9/11 Truth supporter, and he's run for Congress before. So he's going to be talking about the alternative candidacies for Congress, such as my own. And we'll also be discussing one of his pet issues, which is the energy issue. So that sounds like fun. And then next week, same time, same channel, right here on We the People Radio Network, we will be bringing on Elias Davidson. Elias Davidson, I think, he's really just about my favorite 9/11 truth activist out there. He's a brilliant man, all-around kind of jack-of-all-trades renaissance guy. He's the son of Holocaust survivors. He's done all sorts of human rights work. He is a musician. He's got a long list of accomplishments, and among them is the research that he has done on 9/11, specifically on the case or the non-case against the alleged 19 hijackers. Elias Davidson points out there's no evidence whatsoever against any of these guys. So why are we still believing this fairy tale? It'll be great to have him on. Well, listen, we don't seem to be able to pick up our first guest yet. There may be some technical difficulties in the control room, but we will bring on a call. Oh, looks like we do have our first guest, and we also have our first caller. I guess I'd better take the guest first and then the caller. So, okay, I think we do have Chris Effendorf on the line. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm fine, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. Just yakking away, waiting for you to show up. What's up?
Well, good to talk to you. Good to be back on We the People again. I actually think the caller, either it was me or it's my friend C-Doc, who is David C. Snyder, who's an amazing producer of music, as well as he does the videos for Public Enemy. So I invited him to give a call in today. So I think that might actually be him, or it's me. I don't know.
Well, Dave, or anybody else who wants to call in, feel free to just call in whenever. Chris, should we just open it up until people can call in anytime they want, even now, before we get into anything?
Sure.
Sure, okay. So caller.
Sure, why not?
Open call-in day. Chris Effendorf is a very fluid-tongued individual, the world record holder. I'll talk about fluid tongue. The world record holder for freestyle rap. How long did you go? Was it 16 hours, Chris?
Yeah, I did it for 16 hours, and without breaks, it turned out to 13 and a half. Hours of just continuous verbiage, and that's at a fast tempo too. It's at like double time, and I'm not trying to brag. I just want to be clear. It's easy on it's easy on the human body to maintain a. You know, if you're going to dance all night, you want to dance at a certain tempo. If you dance too slow, you can't do it. If you dance too fast, so I did some research, and it's actually like 133 beats per minute. Which is really, really fast. Yeah. It's otherwise known as like the Bone Thugs Harmony style. It sounds really fast, but it's really easier on your body if you want to do longer rapping to do, you know, a long. So I spent 500,000 syllables on that day. That was about, it was probably actually a year and a week ago. And, yeah, I'm going to actually make it into a yearly thing where I'm going to try to break my world record every year.
Holy man. Well, that's pretty impressive. So you're not going to be at a loss for words. No matter who calls and no matter what they ask you. So let's bring them on. First caller is Rick from California. Hello, Rick.
Hey, how's it going? How are you doing today?
Oh, okay. How are you doing?
Hey, Rick. Pretty good. Hey, how's it going, guys? I have a question about what you were talking about right now. That there's so many people with so many facts out there about 9/11, and yet, you know, other people just don't want to seem to either realize what's going on or just turn a blind eye to it. You know?
They sure do. That's absolutely right, Rick. You're asking, like, why do we think that is?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to find out why it is that people are just turning a blind eye when there's so much facts out there, you know? There's a lot of facts out there that show that it was not people living in the cave doing this stuff.
Yeah, well, it's a real good question. You know, obviously, the media brainwashing has something to do with it, the traumatic mind control event itself has a lot to do with it. It was, you know, part of what Naomi Klein calls a shock doctrine. You know, shock the heck out of people and you can get them to do whatever you want them to do. And so they shocked us on 9/11 and reduced us to an infantile state and then came in as the voice of authority, the parental figure who reassures us and, you know, tells us who did this and who we have to hate. And so we have to love Big Brother and hate the external enemy and all of that. You know, it was a very effective, very carefully planned out psychological operation. And then the media just got behind it and has been, you know, pumping out that same old BS tune ever since. And so I think those are the two big reasons, the shock doctrine of the mind control plus the media follow-up. What do you think, Chris?
Well, it's actually, I'm glad you asked me. I figured you would since I'm your guest. But I was just listening to some of your past shows last night. And I really want to bring up, I think that you might be able to relate to this because the other day you were talking with someone about like psychology and Jungian psychology and things. And I've actually done a lot of investigation into Stanislav Grof's work. He wrote a book called The Adventures of Self-Discovery. And in it, he describes his holotropic breath technique. And what he describes is basically there's four steps to this kind of rebirthing process. And I want to look at, you know, basically the four steps really briefly because I really think they tie into any struggle or, you know, quest to become oneself. And especially in terms of 9/11 truth, I think that we can use, you know, a concrete example, so to speak. So he describes that, you know, when you're one with your mother in the womb for 9 months, you're one with the goddess, you're in paradise. You think that she, you know, you're completely cared for. You think that, you know, you and the mother goddess or whatever are one, you know. And then all of a sudden, biology says, okay, kid, 9 months is up. Time to come out.
Yeah, right, right. You're ripped untimely from your mother's womb, as in Macbeth.
Right.
We'll be back in a moment for to pick this up, so stay tuned.
Online and on demand, this is We the People Radio Network.
We the People Radio Network. I'm Kevin Barrett. I'm talking with Chris Deffendorf, a.k.a. Def, the world record holder for freestyle rap. And Chris, we were just talking, well, we had a question from Rick, who is, I believe, still on the line about how is it that people just don't want to hear the facts about 9/11. And you were saying that Stanislav Grof has this psychology of we're all one, feeling a total oneness with the universe while we're in our mother's womb, everything taken care of us. And then just like Macduff, the prophecy hero who was going to dethrone Macbeth in that play, who was ripped untimely from his mother's womb, we all are ripped untimely from the womb, and I guess you can pick it up from there.
Okay, yeah, well, I wanted to bring it up because, you know, it relates to my rap, it relates to 9/11, it relates to any sort of experience of your reality, because basically he, in his studies with this holotropic breath work, you know, he's conducted 2,000 or so studies doing various types of work, but he found that people basically have four types of experiences, and this is, he did some research with psychedelics, and this is, I'm not endorsing psychedelics or, as you said, the past psychedelic openness. But what I'm trying to say is that he, in his book, The Adventures of Self-Discovery, describes these four different types of characteristics of human experiences that were experienced in his study, you know, in his research. And there's basically the one's called BPM-1, one's called BPM-2, one's called BPM-3, and one's called BPM-4. Now, the BPM stands for Birth Perinatal Matrix. In other words, your experience of being born is very similar to your experience of being dead. BPM 1 is when you're in the womb. BPM 2 is when you're basically being forced into the birth canal, you know, basically being forced your head against the birth canal. BPM 3 is within the birth canal. And BPM 4 is your rebirth, where you think it's your death, but it's really your ego death. But for instance, every one of us experiences birth work. And in terms of how this relates to 9/11, and any other struggle, I want to say to people out there who might feel like this is too complicated, is like, hey, look, the great thing about birth work is you know, since you're in the physical world here, that you made it through at least once, you can do it again. So how it works is BPM 1, the feelings, this is oceanic awareness, you're one with the mother, you're one with the world, whatever. We've all felt that. That's a BPM 1 system. Okay, so it has certain feelings, you know. And then what happens is you're forced into your mother's, your head's being crushed. You're forced up against this tiny hole. Your head's being crushed. You don't realize that your mother loves you and she's trying to have you. And biology is just saying, look, the 9 months are up. You got to come out of the oven. And so what you do is you start getting paranoid and you think the world's out to get you. You think your mother doesn't love you. So you're in complete and total martyrhood, in the sense of, you know, I'm being misunderstood and being kicked out of paradise. For lack of better words, once you get out of that place, you get into what's called BPM 3. And the feelings that are in there are rage, because you're survival rage. So you're in the your mother's birth canal, okay? You're having, you know, I don't mean to shock anybody here on this conservative record radio station, but, you know, you're having sexual feelings because you're connected with your mother, you know, in that sense.
You know, my listeners can handle that, Chris.
Okay,
they can handle 9/11 with an inside job. They can handle that.
Well, you know, poetic license, right? So, you know, you're also feeling your head's being crushed still. You're in this tiny space. Your mother's having contractions. Your breathing's being cut off. You're having this, you know, difficulty breathing. Plus, you're feeling like you did something wrong because you were kicked out of paradise. You also, that's guilt. You also feel shame, like there's something wrong with you that you know, you're not in your old place. And finally, you work through that. And you work and work through that, and then finally you're born, and you come out into BPM 4. What you thought was your death was really only the death of who you thought you were. And so how that relates to 9/11, I think, is that, you know, we see, you know, you can see where you are in your own process. You know, you feel everybody's against you. You know, say you become aware of the truth of any issue. You feel, then suddenly, you know, you feel like everyone's out to get you, and you gotta, you know, it's the paranoia, it's the, you know, the shock, but it's also the, you know, complete and total anger at the world because your world has completely changed, okay? Then you get into the whole struggle of getting what you want, which is to get the truth out or, you know, and then you have to work through that, and then finally you're reborn into the person that you are. You know, the person that you want to be. For instance, I decided I was going to try to break my world's record this year, and I said, well, I'm going to do 40 hours because I know I can do it. And so, you know, for a good part of this year, I was partially in the BPM 2 process where I was like, oh, I just got to, I'm struggling against this thing. And then, you know, now I'm just in the process of, you know, like a, sort of a BPM 3 thing. You know, if I don't, if, you know, I have all the same similar feelings. You know, feeling something's wrong with me, feeling that, you know, I did something wrong, you know, and, because I'm trying to become a new person. And then finally, once I break the world's record, it will be, you know, I will be in BPM 4. I'll be reborn as a person who has the Guinness officially. And so I would say to the man who's on the phone, thanks for your call. And, you know, each one of us has our own process. And I think that, you know, when I look at my reality and there's parts of it which I am struggling against, I say to myself, oh, that's me being in BPM 2. It's me thinking I have to try to change it. You know, so I go back to this little mantra. It's like, you know, everything's right, and I feel angry because the media won't report on 9/11, for example, you know? And so then I look at my impact and I say, you know, you really can't change anybody. You know, and each one of those people that we try to change, they're all going through their own process. So,
well,
I just,
yeah, good,
you know,
good
and to try to force it is to really, you know, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. And all
yeah,
the more so for 9/11 truth is so huge.
Okay. Well, Rick, does that make sense to you? Hello, Rick. You still there?
Yeah, I'm here. That actually made more sense than 9/11, and I want to thank you guys for that.
Sure.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Let me plug my site if you have any questions or if you want any more info. www.scratch.dj. So it's like the old records, you know? Not .com, not .net, .dj. Scratch.dj.
Probably aren't too many of those. Okay, thanks. Thanks, Rick. Well, Chris, yeah, I think you're onto something by citing Groff. I've read a little bit of Groff. It's been a while. But maybe I should go back and, you know, have a flashback and read Groff again. I think you're onto something with those, especially this feeling of, kind of paranoia of the world against you. You know, that naturally we feel that in the 9/11 Truth Movement. And I probably feel that more than a lot of people because, you know, I got really raked over the coals in the media for no particular reason. They just picked me. And since then, to some extent, I've been raked over the coals by a small but vociferous contingent of the 9/11 Truth Movement itself. And then my own family is really not on board with this at all either. So it's feels like I'm against the world sometimes.
Well, if I can provide a little bit more insight, I want to say about the Groff, first off, what I found interesting is the holotropic breathwork. He was going to call this book called The Adventure of Self-Discovery Beyond Drugs, because he found in his experience with psychedelics and certain things, you know, through government-funded studies that researched this in the 1960s and 70s, that when he developed this holotropic breathwork, where people, there's like different types of ways to breathe, people were able to have the same type of experiences they had on all these other substances that doesn't require it.
You're going to have to hold your breath and do some breath work, and we'll be right back to finish that breath in just a moment. Kevin Barron.
1-1000 to 1000. 1-1000 to 1000.
All right. Back in a moment.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
This is my favorite part of the program.
Finding out about holotropic breathwork from Stanislav Groff. Actually met some other 9/11 Truth people into that in Colorado. I believe it's Fran. Here's a shout out to Fran if you're listening. We're talking today with Chris Deppendorf. And Chris, you were just talking about that breathwork stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, I've studied Tantra for a couple years as well. And, you know, Tantra breathwork, you know, Tantra is not anything to do with sex. It has to do with the... you have a male and female polarity in your body, and so it's to, you know, basically find balance and harmony by harmonizing the both. So it releases a lot of wonderful energy. But tantric breathwork is a way to get to that, and so that has something to do with, you know, I needed to find strategies because you know, to rap for a long time, it's a lot of work. So I started re-exploring the holotropic breathwork, and I wanted to say that when you're born, you have this paranoid false ego. You think thought is not real. Literally, paranoia, if you break it down, means para, means false, like paranormal, parasite, whatever. Para means, in Latin, means not real, and noia is thought. So, you know, you're thinking when you're born, oh my God, you know, my head's being crushed and being pushed against this thing, and you're fighting against it. But in reality, it's not. You know, you're basically just, no one is there to tell you, hey, it's really your mom, you're inside of your mother, you know, you're not being killed, you're being born. This is just biology saying, hey, kid, you got to get out of there. It's not personal. But, you know, you really, you know, depending on how difficult your birth is, you know, you can get into a lot of paranoia because you really don't know what you did wrong. You don't know, you know, why you're being kicked out.
God knows when, but you're doing it again.
Right.
You know, what you're saying reminds me a lot of the Tibetan Book of the Dead, because that's where, you know, the person actually is given this exact advice that you're telling me about birth, except in this case it's when a person's dying and they're paranoid, and then the Tibetan wisdom teacher will sit beside the dying person whispering in the dying person's ear that it's all your own stuff. It's these monsters you're seeing are all from within yourself.
Yeah. We were just talking during break. I want to let a little of what you just said sit in with me so I can absorb it. But the reality is that, you know, when you're born, you do have these false thoughts, and you are filled with rage for survival because you want to get out. You think you're being killed. And it's a good thing you felt all those feelings and thought all those thoughts, because perhaps if you didn't, you wouldn't be able to get born. So when you get out, you know, you basically have this birth trauma that you've just lived through. It's the most trauma that you've ever experienced, as far as you know. And it forms your false ego. So your false ego is not a good or bad ego. The negative ego is not a good or bad ego. It's a false ego. So it's the one that you used as a shell around you to get through something. It was your way of coping. It was your way of having confidence that you could make it through, and you did make it through, and perhaps it was good that you formed that false ego. So the deal is that the work is to bust your false ego and to build a new positive ego that you'll do for the rest of your life. Like, you know, if you have a false ego, which, you know, you're always getting thoughts like, oh, you're paranoid, thoughts, you know, everyone's out to get me, you know, to bust that, to look at, you know, it's a negative belief. It's something that's limiting. And so I've been working a lot for the last 5 or 6 years, maybe 10 years, on this, about 10 or 11 years, actually, on this thing called image work. And what it is you bust your false image, and then you build an image that is expansive and growing that you'll do for the rest of your life. And it's a process that, you know, maybe we can talk about that later, but I found it's really been helpful to me because I break down little areas of my life where I'm having issues with. Like when I first started working with Public Enemy, I was like, I have to do image work because I wanted to work with Public Enemy for the longest time. And by the way, if you're listening, call in. C-Doc is David C. Snyder. He's a Public Enemy producer as well as the director of a lot of their videos. Call in. And anyways, so I looked at this, and I had to bust the image of who I was in relationship to Public Enemy. And I'd had for all my life, or at least as far as I was aware of Public Enemy. So I busted that, and I forgave myself by, you know, just letting it be okay that I have this image that I want to get rid of, you know, an image of who I am in relationship to my world, in particular in relationship specifically with Public Enemy, and then to build one that I'll do for the rest of my life. So I want to share with you and your listeners a couple of these images, because basically they can be summed up in 6 words. You imagine a central core word, and then like almost like a jewel being set by 5, or a diamond being set by 5 jewels around it. So in the center, for instance, you'd have let me give you one off the beaten track, because you know Ken Jenkins.
Oh yeah, sure.
When I first started working with Ken, I was like, I have to bust my image because, you know, he's a really important person to me, and so I wanted to bust it. So I built an image where I'll be loving. The core word is loving. Now, you have to love yourself first. All these things have to relate to me first, and then it spills out to my reality and to Ken. But, you know, I've shared this with him. So loving, what does that mean? Well, it has like a center, it's like a centered diamond that's being set by 5 different words. One is laughing. One is providing. One is sharing. One is harnessing, and one is seeing. And so, you know, it's kind of has a metaphysical meaning to that, but in reality, it's a reminder to myself that no matter what happens till I'm dead, whenever I think Ken, I'm thinking, how can I, in the moment, be the most loving person I can be? When I have, you know, I can see myself for who I am, you know? I can laugh with myself about what I think is fun. And I can provide for myself, and I can share myself with people who are trustworthy, you know? So, for instance, this doing this radio show is a way of me honoring my relationship with Ken, my spirituality. You know what I'm saying? my commitment to Ken as a human being to be responsible, you know?
Really, that's really cool. And, you know, I like having a loving in the center of it. That works for me. It's like the heart chakra in the center of the human kind of thing.
Oh, nice picture. Let me give you a couple others, okay? I got 21 here. Let me just I'll give you just the main words, and let me give you the ones around it. The main word for Ken is loving. Then I have including. There's another image I did. Another one is recognizing. Another one is inspiring. Another one is wondering. Another one is introspecting. Another one is committing. Another one is flexing. Another one is transforming. Another one of them is healing. Another one is caring. Another one is giving. Then I have helping, purifying, and sourcing. And I also have curiosity and clean. So every single one of those, besides about four of them because I don't have them in front of me, every single one of those words has like five different words. So these are kind of like maps to the future. So in other words, as I'm being reborn into the person which I will be in the future, I don't have to get paranoid because I have something to fall back on. Like, for instance, one of my best friends, I was having problems in my relationship with her, and so I decided to do this image work. So now whenever I think of her, I know what to do. So if somebody reminds me of her, I'll know I have a map. So I don't have to go into panic, you know what I'm saying? I have a map to do it, and the more I work with it every day, the more confidence I have that I'm, you know, being more of who I am.
So,
but give me one of those.
Are you actually doing the breath work while you're thinking about these words?
Yeah, well, this thing is that when I did the last rap thing, you know, I decided to only rap about things that I had processed. And so, absolutely. I mean, they're really a part of me. I don't really separate them from myself. It's just kind of like, you know, all your thoughts and your beliefs and your feelings come from your image. So, I kind of did in the positive sense of brainwashing, in the positive sense of conditioning. You know, I busted the old images, forgave myself for, you know, you're conditioned to think such and such. So you got to, whether that's good or bad is up to you in the moment to decide. So what you do is you forgive yourself for being conditioned, allowing it, and then build something that you can really say, hey, this is something I built. So then at the end of the day, I can say, how loving was I? Okay? I was working with Ken before I got into 9/11. So all the time when I'm in 9/11, doing 9/11 work, I'm like, and when I'm rapping and doing this breath work, I'm just like, okay, well, how loving am I being to myself first? You know, do I want to take a break? You know, like I'm trying to be nice to myself. You know, trying to transform myself. If I see something in the world that I don't like, how can I transform, you know, that? I guess we're going to break.
Well, we sure are, but we'll be transforming back into the program after the break. So stick around. Kevin Barrett with Chris Deppendorf.
I found out.
Chemtrails in the air, genetically modified clone processed food, poison water, radiation, and stress have reduced many of you into toxic cyber blobs. You can't go on like this, and I know you don't want to. Do yourself a favor, do your country a favor, be the best you can be, and start taking Enerfood now. Enerfood is easy to prepare and cheaper than a cup of coffee to take every day. And speaking of coffee, Enerfood.com has the best all-organic fresh coffee ever. It's fair trade coffee infused with rainforest polysaccharides to, like Enerfood, improve your immune system and not destroy it. If coffee's not your thing, try the all-organic Coco Mojo. Enerfood is spelled E-N-E-R, Enerfood.com, or give them a call at 866-762-9238. Mention WTPRN and save 10%. Try Enerfood because you can't be awake when you're always falling asleep.
Collectors, outdoor enthusiasts, survivalists. The Army Navy store from your memory as a child is just that, a memory. But there is still one place to find everything from gas masks to ammo cans and find it cheap. MaineMilitary.com. Get hard to find objects like real wool blankets for under $20, canteens for just $2, or trioxane fuel for just $1 a box. M-A-I-N-E Military.com with free shipping on items over $150, not including heavy items. Find surplus items for cheap now, like 30 caliber cleaning kit for just $2.99. $9.99 a piece or a dozen for $30. Flare pistols are only $25. Want to add a brand new Israeli gas mask to your collection? Kids and adult sizes are just $20. Get G3 mags for just $2 or a military fuel can for only $16. Add the siphon holes for another $7.99. Find it all online at MaineMilitary.com. With shipping throughout the world, check out MaineMilitary.com or call 877-608-0179. That's 877-608-0179. Call today.
Deadline Live and Jack Blood are proud to announce our new bookstore. Okay, it's not really our online bookstore where you can get every title, book, and DVD you hear about on our live show. It's brought to you by the people at Brave New Books. BraveNewBookstore.com is the newest, bravest, and most complete bookstore online today. And their DVD selection has all the titles you need to decode the New World Order and fight the information war. BraveNewBookstore.com has awesome t-shirts to proudly display your patriotism and liberty stickers to alert the public at large. Brave New Books is physically located at 1904 Guadalupe Street under the Chase Bank building next to UT in Austin, Texas. So stop on by and maybe stay for one of their film showings. Go to BraveNewBookstore.com now to peruse the virtual bookstore and look for the Jack Blood recommended section. Or call them at 866-516-6623. 866-516-6623 to order the books and videos you hear about on Deadline Live. Be the resistance. Tell your friends about BraveNewBookstore.com.
Welcome back. This is the Truth Jihad Radio Show. I'm Kevin Barrett. This hour I'm talking with Chris Deffendorf, world record holder for freestyle rap. And we're talking about the way that you can recreate your relationships with other people and indeed your relationship with yourself through a process of choosing positively inflected words and building a sort of a constellation of words that will help help frame your relationship with yourself or with that person. So, Chris, pick it up where you left off, because I can't paraphrase you. You're going to have to paraphrase yourself.
Okay. Well, I want to say that if you want to see the quick paraphrasing, I just got my new website up. It's www.scratch.dj. So not, it's like the old, like the record players, you know, it's like hip-hop DJs. Scratch.dj. So it's not .com, it's scratch.dj. It's the country of Djibouti, incidentally. Basically, it's a process that I've used that is develop words that I'll do towards myself first, and then I'll let them spill out into my reality as I choose where I want. So, for instance, if there's a problem in my local community, sometimes, you know, going up against a brick wall is just like, I mean, it's folly. I mean, you know, if there's so much resistance and someone tries to control you so much, why do you want to put your power in them when you can put it in, like I was telling Kevin during the break, in thousands of other places? For instance, a couple of years ago, I had a fight with a woman who I love, and decided to, rather than sit there and listen to all these tape loops about why I'm ultimately not good enough to get what I want with this woman, I decided to do image work. And so what I did is I made it so that whenever I think of this woman, I made a map for myself how to go forward. And during the break, Kevin picked another word, and actually that was for someone that's a library here. I'm actually outside the library. It's interesting we chose this word, because a friend of mine was working at this library, and, we were fighting, and I basically said, well, you know, I'm not going to do this crap. I'm just going to, like, build it. So the word I came up with was inspiring. So I have to inspire myself first. Now, then let that spill out to him, so he'll be inspiring me. So how do I do that? Well, inspiring has five components in this map: building, trusting, reframing, blessing, and dreaming. So I'll be dreaming myself, I'll be building myself, I'll be trusting myself, I'll be reframing myself, and I'll be blessing myself, and therefore I will be inspiring. And in doing this image work, you got to really pick the right words. If you want more information about this, Lazarus.com has a tape called Building and Busting Image, which is the tape that I kind of adapt this from, but it's Lazaris.com, not Lazarus, but Lazarus, Lazaris.com, that's Busting and Building Image. And you can stream it from their website. But anyways, inspiring, you know, and I wanted to say, touch on this before it gets to your question or anything, reframing, what that means is you can look at it and you can see where you are, and you can, like, you're holding up a picture frame and you're like, oh, these thoughts and feelings are like, this is like me when I was 7, you know, or this is how I felt yesterday. Okay, and now here, now hold up another picture frame. Okay, this is how I feel now. And I'm like, okay, now here's where I want to be in the future. So it's like you're reframing your reality, reframing myself, you know. So in other words, if I'm having a problem with 9/11 truth and getting on the media or something, which I am, I think a lot of us are, I can reframe it and say, oh, this is me in BPM 2, you know, or this is me where I am in my birth process and feeling hopeless because I can't get through. And so how that relates is, oh, this is me relating to my reality as if it was my mother trying to kick me out of the womb. When in reality, that's just blame and judgment, and ultimately, you know, we're going to get there. 9/11 truth, we'll get there because it's truth
okay.
stands.
And speaking of getting there, we do have a caller who's trying to get there. It's, I have it as D-O-V. Would that be a friend of yours?
I don't know. I don't think it's D-O-V.
Okay. Well, hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, Chris, hello? It's C-Doc from Flamegate.
All right, it's C-Doc. What's up? This is my man, C-Doc. What's going on?
Nothing. Just out and about. Sorry, it took me so long to call in. I had to do a little couple running errands and visit some family before they went out on a trip. So.
All right. Well, cool. I'm glad you called in.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the show.
Do you want to introduce yourself? Tell everybody what you do and what you're known for, and plug your stuff.
Okay. My name is C-Doc. I work for Chuck D. Slam Jams label. I do the videos for Public Enemy for the past couple years now, and I'm the head of the video department for the label, as well as I produce music and MC a little bit, and my group is called The Impossibles, and we are the world's first virtual rap squad, and I have another group called Lowdown. We do old-school, mid-'90s, early-'90s kind of throwback hip-hop.
I want to say, if I may cut you off, Lowdown is the shit. Excuse me. Lowdown is the funk. Lowdown album is great. C-Doc can say the concept, but it's basically, if you like the Tribe Called Quest Low End Theory album, which is an amazing album.
Oh, yeah,
album.
I love that album.
Their whole band is like, if that was not an album, but it was a group, that's what the sound was like. And I picked C-Doc for my True School and the Jungle Groove Foundation because he's an all-around great guy and an excellent producer. He's produced this one song called Watch the Door, which is a remix of a Public Enemy cut, but also because when he says he's the first virtual rap squad, you know, he's one of the first people, and not the only people that I know of, that was, you know, do you want to say it? This is about how MP3 sharing and how you did the album is like, what virtual, can you say what virtual means?
It started off in the late 90s when MP3 technology really first hit, and it became a viable you know, way of compressing sound to transmit through email and online, you know, quicker than, in an age of dial-up, it was quicker than trying to, you know, send WAV files, which would have taken forever. But what we did, what I thought was, instead of, you know, if I can send a whole song, an entire song, over the Internet to people, why can't I send pieces of a song to people? And so I'd send a beat out to somebody and have them record vocals and then send the vocals back to me. And so we were able to record with people in different places and virtually set up studios. And that's what was the foundation of the group, The Impossibles. We were the first group to actually do that and record over the Internet.
They didn't even know each other except through the Internet, so they made a whole album before they even met in person.
Well, that's amazing. Wait, that's pretty
close, yeah.
If I can stretch that, I just want to say that, you know, I have this project down in the rainforest, and you can read about it at www.scratch.dj. There's a True School site. But I work with an Amazon tribe in the rainforest that wants to work with hip-hop. And the deal is they're in the rainforest, but MIT is giving them free laptops. And it's the one laptop per child program, but they're like actually like hand-crankable laptops. And so they'll be able to record. They'll be able to do what C-Doc did with our artists. And we got KRS-One, Chuck D is down with us, Johnny Juice from Public Enemy, a lot of people, Afrika Bambaataa, you know, all these people are down with us. So we're trying to show the tribe that, as Rakim said, you want to say it, C-Doc, it ain't where you're from.
It's where you're at.
Right, it's where you're at, mentally, spiritually, et cetera. So, you know, that's it. What do you want to talk about, Kevin?
Well, that's some great stuff. You know, my kids are going to be amazed by this because they're huge Public Enemy fans. They, you know, they've gone and ransacked all the, you know, the hip hop in my collection, and that's what they like the best. They've gone, you know, gone out and gotten a lot of the rest of it from the library, and they're going to be really interested in this. So I'm really happy that you could come on and share this with us, C-Doc.
Oh
yeah, how much more time we got? You know.
Well, we're actually coming up kind of here on the end pretty quick. We only have about, you know, 2 minutes left here, a little under.
Well, let's order a pizza and let's make a party out of this.
There you go. Call out. Well, you better have a fast pizza delivery guy then.
Well, I want to just plug. If you go to YouTube and you Google Command Pix, CommandPix, that's C-Doc's site. He gives me $5 every time I mention it on the radio. It's Command Pix at YouTube, and that's a joke. But if you got the cash, seriously, you know, my PayPal. But, yeah, Command Pix, he makes these amazing videos for Public Enemy as well as his own stuff and the Lowdown stuff. It's just hysterical and wonderful. So
there's a lot of stuff, a lot of different stuff up at the YouTube site. You know, all the PE videos I've done, you know, some other stuff. And we got more stuff coming up. I just finished a video with MC Light. We shot up in New York, which is a lot of fun, so.
MC who? MC who? We didn't hear it.
Oh, I'm sorry. MC Light.
You did it for MC Light?
Yeah, did a brand new video for MC Light. It'll be coming out pretty soon.
I had coffee with her in 1990. Lynn Q and I and her had coffee. Are you on? Is she going to be on during the break?
Yeah, it's going to be a really short break, so.
Actually, you know something? I have to go because I'm at the library. I got to pack up my computer. I got to get going.
Okay, well, it's been great having you.
I can come back for another word.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. And, hey, C-Doc, Kevin, thanks so much.
It's been great having you, too. Yeah, thanks. Hit your website again. We got 20 seconds.
www.scratch.dj and C-Doc?
Command, I think it's just commandpix.com, commandpix.com.
All right, well, check it out, folks. We'll be back in just a moment, so stay tuned.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.